Someday a friend may offer you a chance to visit the other side of the dream.
Your ticket is a little packet of white powder called heroin.
But every packet of heroin is different.
You don't know what's getting into you.
Some doses are so strong they kill. Heroin is so vicious that the criminals who make the big money in heroin
don't use it. They know a lot of reasons why heroin
is very, very dumb. Maybe that's why they call it dumb.
You are tuned in to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, Pure Pleasure Technology, Tufts Freeform and Educational Radio.
Home, home again. I like to be here when I can. When I come home cold and tired, it's good to warm my bones beside the fire. Far away across the fields, the tolling of the iron bell calls the faithful to their knees to hear the softly spoken magic spell.
You really think that just because you have an idea, it belongs to you?
You ain't never in your life heard a disc jockey come through here like me.
He mixes different quotes of people and a wide variety of songs, very, very freeform, which is the point of WMFO.
Push it right to the edge.
Yeah, it's definitely in the right. That geezer is cruising for bruising.
I know you like two things I like. Chicken and chicks.
Free socks.
Idea it was to get somebody, a female singer in, but Alan Parsons knew Claire Torrian had been working with her and said, why don't you try her?
She just went in there and improvised over it. Yeah, and that was amazing. That was fantastic. But that was done while we were mixing.
We knew what we wanted, not exactly musically, but we knew that we wanted someone to just improvise over this piece. So we directed her. We said, well, think about death, think about horror, think whatever, and just go and sing. And my memory is that she went out in the studio and did it very, very quickly and then came back in and said, I'm really sorry about this, very embarrassed. And we, in fact, were sitting in the studio saying, this is wonderful.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this show's producer, WMFO, its staff and management, or Tufts University.
You had the power to be all good, all wise, and all powerful. Why would you make the world you had now?
I don't know. I was really drunk at the time.
It seemed to me really important. I've no idea why it did, to have voices on this thing.
It's my show. I can do whatever I want, so I am.
I want you to trip like I do.
Mix in those days was a performance, every bit as much as doing a gig.
Where is it? I've never heard any music like this in my life before, and if I ever have, I don't know
Kadoodle.
Get your own show. Play your own music.
Harmonious layers. Built up on top of one another. Like a sandwich.
Layering different sounds on top of each other. Layering different sounds on top of each other.
Computers can do that?
After Sid went crazy in 68, we were, all of us, searching, fumbling around, looking for, well, where do we go now? Because here was the guy who starts producing all these songs and was the sort of heartbeat of the band.
Sid cast the long and large shadow over events. I think that the band were very impressive to keep going, actually, after the loss of their main creative drive. I mean, it was something you'd choose, isn't it? I mean, you wouldn't sit around and say, OK, let's get rid of our songwriter.
After Sid had gone, the music became more kind of soundscapes than songs.
You have to work to your strengths, and it's a very good thing that we couldn't write singles. We might not have done some of the interesting work that we did.
Once Sid was out of the picture, the Floyd just went glacial. They just let it all spread out. When I saw the Floyd for the first time, it was the summer of 68. It was actually the first American tour with David Gilmour. And they were just extraordinary.
It seemed to me really important. I've no idea why it did, to have the voices on this thing. So the only thing that was clever about it at all was how to do it. So not to have an interview.
Devised probably in the canteen and done later that evening.
So I wrote out a bunch of cards and with questions on them.
I think what the voices did on the record very well was they actually brought out the dark side. They were, in a way, the dark side of the record.
First of all, we used a number of people who were in the studio with us, so we used three or four of our road crew.
I'm not frightened of dying at all, because when you gotta go, you gotta go.
The Irish doorman here, Jerry.
Why should I be frightened of dying? There's no reason for it, you gotta go sometime.
Wings were recording in here at the same time, so we actually used Paul and Henry McCulloch.
I don't know, I was really drunk at the time.
It's the people who are not used to being interviewed who come up with the stuff.
I think they started off with what's your favourite colour, you know, and your favourite food, and none of which was just to get people there. And then they went into when was the last time you were violent. This was the good bit. When was the last time you were violent? And then you'd answer it, and then take the next card, and the next card said, were you in the right?
Yeah. I was in the right.
Yes, absolutely in the right.
I certainly was in the right.
Yeah, I was definitely in the right. That geezer was cruising for a bruising.
And this remarkable roadie called Roger the Hat.
If I participate in this effort, I'm going to get my gold disc at the end of it. Imagine that. Oh.
They were trying to track him down to do the cards, and by the time they got hold of him, somebody, the cards had gone missing. I don't know where they'd gone. So Roger Waters actually ended up doing it. He actually did do that one as an interview.
Right. You're going mad,
Roger.
I once reached a stage in my life where I was completely convinced that I'd gone over the brink, or, well, that's what I cared to call it.
you'd always want to put more things on than you had tracks for. So tracks would very suddenly change from one thing to a different thing.
All of us are on the desk with our fingers on the faders.
But that's the way it was, because we didn't have automation in those days.
A mix in those days was a performance, every bit as much as doing a gig.
It's one thing, actually, that we've kind of lost in the modern age. Commissioned to record some clocks for a sound effects record for the very early days of Quadrophonic.
And when we were doing time, he suggested we might like to have these clocks.
My memory of it is just this room full of tapes rolling around, because it was, without any sort of computer help, everything had to be done manually.
Getting all the clocks to chime at the right time, and that was a process of just finding a particular moment on the multi-track tape where all the chiming would happen, and then back timing all the quarter-inch originals which contained each of the clocks.
And then the very critical thing of tapes starting at specific moment, which is all done with hand signs and stopwatches.
Welcome to the Tears of the Gods sound collage. That's right, it's not just a radio program, it's a sound collage with audio clips from who knows where, mixed in between and on top of the music, which always matches a theme in one way or another. If you've been listening for a while, like maybe since when we started doing these shows on WMFO in 2004, you know that one of the things that makes a Tears of the Gods sound collage different from the plastic sushi strawberries and thyme sound collages that we also mix up for you here on the 91.5 FM airwaves of WMFO is that on a Tears of the Gods, we like to go deep rather than genre jumping wide, usually focusing on just one or two styles of music, rather than all the jumping from one genre to another that we do on a plastic sushi. And in this episode, we are definitely going deep, focusing on Pink Floyd and in particular, their classic album, The Dark Side of the Moon, which was released in 1973. And at this point, with 50 million copies sold, is one of the best-selling albums ever. About number two, after Michael Jackson's Thriller, and ahead of the Eagles' Greatest Hits and AC/DC's perfect Back in Black. And let me say, I think The Dark Side of the Moon is also a perfect album. And by that, I mean every song on it rocks. Even though they aren't all hard rockin' songs, every single sound counts. And with the way the tracks segue and all the voices mixed in, that album is most definitely a sound collage. And certainly one that's had a profound influence on what I do here, the sound collages I make for your listening and contemplative pleasures. So, what I'm mixing up here for you is a theme I call Another Side of the Dark Side of the Moon. And I'll be reconstructing both album sides 1 and 2 of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon by using cool cover versions performed by other artists and also some Pink Floyd live versions of all the songs in the original order. Yep, a DMCA compliant remixed cool cover version of Pink Floyd's classic album. And then we're gonna go back to 1967 with The Floyd and a nearly 17 minute full-length version of Interstellar Overdrive, one of the very first psychedelic instrumental improvisations recorded by a rock band. And then, from there, we'll be listening to The Orb remixing Pink Floyd, as we did in the show intro with The Orb's trance remix of The Dark Side of the Moon. And then, it'll be another longer live Pink Floyd performance from back in 1970, recorded live at the Fillmore West, a version of Careful with That Axe, Eugene. Then we'll be rounding things out with a couple more cool cover versions of Pink Floyd songs performed by other artists. Our audio clips from Who Knows Where are pretty much all from the outstanding DVD documentary, Classic Albums, The Making of the Dark Side of the Moon, which includes interviews with all the band members, plus other people like Alan Parsons, who is their audio engineer. Also, Roger Waters talking about how the idea for mixing in the voices and actually recording them came about. And Alan Parsons on setting up the clocks for time. Yes, this is no ordinary radio program. It's a non-commercial, freeform, and even sometimes educational sound collage that you're only going to find here on WMFO in Medford. Backing me up right now is Cracker G with a very cool version of On the Run, which I found on the excellent album The Electronic Tribute to Pink Floyd. There's two of them, Volume 1 and Volume 2, and they're both terrific. Well, let's get the rest of your sound collage party going as we recreate the first side of The Dark Side of the Moon. And we're going to start with Mary Fowle's version of Speak to Me here on the Tears of the Gods sound collage on WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Straightforward. should all you see is all your life will ever be. When at last the work is done, don't sit down, it's time to dig another one. The long you live and high you fly, but only if you ride the tide and balanced on the biggest wave, the race towards an early grave.
Thank you.
Why should I be afraid of dying? There's no reason for it. You've got to go sometime.
Oh,
You're tuned in to the Tears of the Gods sound collage, only here on WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform, non-commercial, community radio. I'm your host, Edward Buchert, and our theme this week is Another Side of the Dark Side of the Moon. As we recreate Pink Floyd's classic album using cool cover versions of the songs performed by other artists and some live versions performed by Pink Floyd themselves. Pink Floyd was formed in England in 1965 and gets my vote for the greatest ever progressive rock band. They were Syd Barrett on guitar and lead vocals, Nick Mason on drums, Roger Waters playing bass guitar and also singing, along with Richard Wright on keyboards, and somebody named Bob Close, who also played guitar, but he left before they named themselves Pink Floyd. Guitarist and vocalist David Gilmour joined them in December 1967 to help deal with Syd's deteriorating ability to perform on stage. And then Syd left in April 1968. With their perfect albums, The Dark Side of the Moon, Wish You Were Here, Animals, and The Wall, as well as others, they're one of the best-selling music artists of all time, like hundreds of millions. We began, as of course the album itself does, with Speak to Me, in this mix performed by Mary Fall, which I found on her album, From the Dark Side of the Moon. And then it was Pink Floyd themselves with a live version of Breathe from their Pulse double CD live album. Next up was George Serra's cool version of On the Run from Volume 1 of the electronic tribute to Pink Floyd. And then we followed that with Motor Industries version of Time from Volume 2 of the electronic tribute to Pink Floyd. And then we wrapped side one up with Pink Floyd's live version of The Great Gig in the Sky, also from their Live Pulse album. Did you catch my drop in, my scream of, oh my God, that could have been me? And On the Run, a good interpretation of that song is that it's somebody trying to catch their plane at an airport, and they're racing to get to the gate as the line and doors are closing, but they just miss it, and then they watch as the plane takes off and then explodes. If you don't believe me, go back to Pink Floyd's original and intently listen during that explosion. Backing me up right now, my ambiance, this is Kismet and their version of the main theme from the film More. Coming up next is going to be a recreation of the second side of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. We're going to be hearing very cool cover versions of tracks from that perfect album by Pink Floyd and the Bug Funny Foundation, as well as a live performance by Pink Floyd themselves. And to start things off, here's Alistair Foster and Dynamochrome with, of course, Money, here on the Tears of the Gods sound collage, only on WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform, non-commercial, community, and even sometimes educational radio.
Grab
about. We'll be right back.
Yes.